and keep it rolling. We are now recording.
Okay, let's bring this meeting to order at 9:31. If we could have a roll call, please.
Roger Skaggs.
Present.
Peter Leeds.
Present.
Paul Steron.
Here.
Michael Kolecka. And then we have one vacancy at this time. We have a quorum.
And if I can go on the record as asking the board to please give us someone who will show up to the meetings. We'll go next to the call to the public. Now, I see that we do have some public members, and I do want to remind them that the committee is not allowed to discuss or take any legal action on matters raised during an open call unless it's on the agenda. Does anyone in the public have anything to say that's not on the agenda? Okay, hearing nothing, we're going to move along to the adoption of the minutes for January 12, 2022. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I had a question here. So regarding the minutes, Section 5, ABLE, the committee discussed revisions, additions to the following SOP and listed every single paragraph. Is that needed or wanted? Because what if we missed one? You know, I usually don't see that level of detail on exactly what paragraphs got discussed within a document. I'm wondering if that's serving us at all by detailing that.
If I may just, minutes are not the official proceeds record. The audio is statutorily. So if the minutes do have a little more detail, a little less detail, it isn't going to affect anything in the long run.
Okay. All right. Motion to accept the minutes as read.
Roger, we'll need a second on that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was able to second.
You are. Yeah, you're one of the few.
Okay. I'll second it. Second as written.
Any discussion on those?
No. Pretty short and sweet.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. The motion carries.
Is that aye for Mr. Skaggs? You say aye.
Aye. You won't have to coach me until I get used to this.
No worries.
The Rogers rule of order.
Is that a Roberts?
Okay, let's jump right to Section 5A, selection of an HIRC chairperson. We're going to need a motion for discussion.
So I would motion Peter Leeds to chair this committee.
Second for discussion?
Yeah, we can have some discussion. Second.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I've chaired this committee many times. I don't mind doing it, but I'm the one who has the least
tenure.
What am I looking for?
You're on the short list.
I'm going to be here to short. I'm the short head guy.
You have the shortest tenure.
You don't have the least brains, that's for sure.
So... you just want to keep that in mind. I don't mind chairing the committee, all right? And I've done it before. On the other hand, you're going to be calling for a new chairman in, less than 2 years now, I believe.
This is appointment,
last year, I thought.
Year, yours comes up, and then we do the whole thing again, and you may remain on the committee at that time, so we don't know.
But we never know. The board is looking for change. We found that out last time. Just to keep that in mind, okay? Any more discussion?
No. I think you'll do a great job. You have all the background. You have all the skills. You know where all the details are. I'm sure you'll...
You want me to take all the work home? Okay.
Paul, you get to delegate.
That's a fact.
How do you feel about being chairman?
How do I feel about about me being chair?
Yes.
I think I could do it. I think I could handle it. I've chaired boards with directors in the past. You know, I feel I have the capabilities, but I'm not the only one, and I think you do a great job at it. And I recall when you were chairing before. So I don't have any concerns with you chairing it at all. If for some reason you couldn't at some point, I would be happy to jump in. How's that?
We have a motion on the table.
To,
you have a second already. He seconded.
Right. Any more discussion?
I don't have any more discussion unless you do, Roger.
No, I guess that pretty well. You're it.
Well, all in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I'll take the chair.
Thank you, Peter.
And I'll get even the bench. All right. 5B. Home Inspector Standards of Professional Practice revision is ongoing, and I think we ought to jump right into it from the very beginning. Okay, if we can all turn to the Home Inspector, to what we have so far, the rules and standards, standards of professional practice, starting with the standards table of contents. What page is that on?
I think it's page 5 of the packet.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. All right. When I went through this before, we had some strikeouts early on in this, and I don't see them.
This is a clean version, so any strikeouts were cleaned out.
Oh, good. Thank you for that.
I do have a question on that. Are we going to get a copy of what was changed?
In this one. And okay. I have the old one as well, with the changes still intact. And I think okay. I sent that to you guys right after the last meeting. I had a divvied up one and a clean one, and this is an even cleaner version of that. Okay. But that one still remains in the email.
I know just from my own experience that there's going to be some people that are going to want to know what changes were made. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's still in the works. I mean, it's still...
So, you want me to open that one instead?
I mean...
No, not for our purposes, but just down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I really would like to see, you know, exactly what got changed, since okay. we've made so many different changes at different dates on this document. And did you, on what you sent out, Kurt, after the last meeting,
Michael's here.
Was
okay.
there was that pretty complete as a result of the last meeting as far as what got changed?
So when I did the cleanup, I think it was the end of last week, the one that we have up here.
Okay.
It basically, there's a lot of formatting changes mm-hmm. that were in there. There was a handful of strikeouts, and those are things I deleted. Anything that was highlighted that you guys wanted to talk about remained. I didn't really feel like there was anything.
Yeah, and my challenge, and maybe some of Roger's, is looking at a document now and trying to understand how it changed from original, and then trying to compare it is very difficult and encumbering and time-consuming. What got changed? That got moved. You know, it makes it really difficult to assess the document and the standards without seeing a struck-out version from what we currently have to what our latest and greatest is. So,
you can pull that up on the screen, right?
Yeah. Just give me
can
a
I
second
just here. Really quickly say Mr. Kolecka joined us at, what time is it, 9:38? Are you there, Mike?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Thanks for joining.
Welcome, Michael.
I was sitting in the Google Meet, but it was just queuing there, and I had to try again. So sorry for being a few minutes late, but
and
good to see everybody virtually.
Sorry, we should have been more attentive to. You know what? I'll watch that, Kurt, in case somebody else wants to join.
Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, we're at 5. The 5B, I believe it is. On the stand, talking about the standards of professional practice changes we're making. We're bringing it up to see those strikeouts right now on the screen. There
that's
we
just,
go.
That's just me.
Okay, Paul, stay up there. That's right, a little bit lower. Kurt, if we can come down to the beginning. Okay, thank you. All right, Paul, the purpose and scope. We're keeping, let's move down. There you go, Paul. Right. The business name, okay. Observe, readily accessible.
Great.
All right, anything there? Let's slide down. We have nothing else going on there. Those were the strikeouts I saw earlier. Okay. let's stop here, okay. Now, we've got some new input on Section 3. Section 3.2.
I'd like to address something.
Go ahead.
On the table of contents. Central air conditioning, in my mind, does not really cover everything that we do. There's evaporative coolers, window or through wall air conditioners.
Would it just be air conditioning, you think?
I would say cooling.
Cooling.
Since
we have
systems.
Heating?
Once we have heating, we have cooling. I mean, it just seems that that doesn't really serve everything that we do.
You know, and
with central air conditioning.
And technically, heating is also conditioning the air, isn't it? When you're heating the air, you're conditioning it.
Yeah,
conditioning isn't just
course.
Specific to cooling. So you're absolutely right, technically, with the words. When you're conditioning the air, you're simply changing the temperature.
Could yeah, or it could also be filtered as well.
Yeah.
Something like that. But
maybe cooling. What do you think, Peter?
I had no
just cooling.
Problems about it.
Yeah.
Anything from the public?
Yeah, in the BTR requires certain sections to be addressed during training. And I believe if you're going to change that, you want to change the requirements for training as well, because it's based on your table of contents.
That might be in the rule.
It actually just says cooling.
It says cooling in the rule?
Mm-hmm. Heating and cooling.
Heating, cooling.
There you go.
Electrical.
What number is cooling? 10?
It's R-432.
No,
are these the current standards?
This is rule.
It's just words.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because when I was reviewing it, I said, "Well, we already got it there."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might have thrown that in the statute too. I don't recall if we specified that.
Mm-hmm.
But could it be reiterated in rule, possibly?
Would the rule say cooling?
Rule says cooling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're good then, huh? Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, in my personal reports, I use cooling systems.
All right.
But that's mine.
So no one has any problem with that, huh? Changing that to cooling, Paul?
Yep.
Good. Let's back up to 2.2C3. I've got a notation here at the 11th hour. 2.2C3. We have stated any systems and components so inspected which are found to be found to contain a major defect and any recommendations to have corrections made, monitored, or evaluated by appropriate persons. Now, I've got a notation here from the field brought in by David Schwartz that says I would change major defect to material defect. However, if we change to a material defect, we're going to need to define the words material defect in our glossary. Does anybody see a need for that? A specific issue is a component of
yeah.
He says to use the international definition in the glossary for the definition of material defect, meaning a specific issue with a system or component of a residential property that may have a significant adverse impact on the value of the property or that poses an unreasonable risk to people. The fact that a system or component is near, at, or beyond the end of its normal useful life is not in itself a material defect. I'm not interested in any of it, to be honest with you. I like our statement as it is.
Right, and
yeah, I'll support that as well.
We have not changed anything on the def for immediate major repair or major defect, right? None of those defs have changed, right?
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the immediate major repair is a bit of a challenge in itself, but that's a different story.
Well, we took out immediate major completely.
That's been taken?
Out. Notice?
So it's not referenced anywhere then?
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, moving to 3.1B. I have another statement here at the 11th hour. It says, the way it's currently worded would mean that a condo inspection in a building with more than 4 units would not be subject to these standards. I would change to these standards are applicable to the inspection of residential dwellings of no more than 4 units and their garages and carports. and have any comment on that. David, you've seen this earlier.
I didn't author this. So, however, I think that it's a technicality, of course, that a condo, you know, the effects of this statement on a condo, but we've never run into a problem with it, probably. So unless, you know, on the legal side, somebody could wiggle out a responsibility because, you know, the board doesn't have jurisdiction because this, actually, this high rise is 240 units, so it's outside. So that's really the only, it's a loophole possibility is what he's bringing up.
I understand that. The, in order to change that, we would have to change rules, and we probably would have to change the statutes as well. This is all written in, this is the basis of what we're doing.
Yeah, then it's unfixable because I bet there's not funding available to go do a statutory change.
I have no problems with walking away from this, Paul?
No, it's fine. It's a little challenging with buildings with dwelling units. You know, it's almost like two different references. I mean, what we're inspecting is the dwelling unit, but that's sometimes within a building, and so maybe we have to reference building here, buildings within dwelling units, because that could take out the loophole if we could address the building within dwelling units, but it's really not much of a loophole that we're worried
about. I don't
about.
Really see it as a loophole. What it's doing is once you get more than four dwelling units, you're talking about a whole different type
commercial,
of construction.
Right.
And then
so,
you're also talking about not being able to address the items that we need to address in the standards.
Yeah.
For instance, in a high rise,
Peter,
you'll be lucky to find the main path.
Yeah. So let me ask a quick question, not knowing the business clearly, but you know, if somebody wanted to purchase, say, an apartment building, apartment complex that had hundreds of units,
mm-hmm.
turned into condo,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody wanted to purchase that, I mean, wouldn't they want a home inspection on a single unit within?
Sure. And if it was on a single unit, then our jurisdiction would apply. But if it was on the whole building with all the units, it would not, because it would
be
commercial.
That's what that four-unit thing is.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And that is in parity with the basic building code, the municipal codes. It's kind of in parity with that, which is where the four units came from.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I do think from a jurisdiction standpoint, this statement has served us well. We haven't gotten in any tussles for jurisdiction. It's pretty clear where the BTR is as far as where the jurisdiction is, where it's not. Maybe we just shouldn't mess with it is what I'm thinking. Unless somebody feels really strongly about it. Yeah.
I'm in agreement.
I think we should leave it.
We're walking away from that?
Yeah.
Okay, now,
yeah.
We do have some important items in 3.2. Get rid of this second one. 3.2. Everyone has a form here that came late in the package that have the last of the changes made by the committee, the subcommittee, for these rules and standards. We seem to want to add an 11 and a 12. How'd they get in there already? Did you put those in this morning?
No.
No? Okay.
No, you sent those out.
Let's go to 3.2A5, where we say the compliance and non-compliance, 3.2A5, compliance and non-compliance with applicable regulatory requirements. David, as part of the subcommittee, recommended that we use compliance or non-compliance with applicable codes or regulatory requirements.
Mm.
Discussion?
These just are alternative, sorry to interrupt, but these are alternative ideas just to consider. And so, you know, from the different standards that are out there, just something to throw in as a last check of whether you want to expand the exclusions. We never, as home inspectors, get in trouble for all the amazing things we do for the client and checking a lot of areas, but you know the arguments are always over what should have been included or excluded, and this provides clarity for that. So it's, for that reason, a very important section.
We don't do code inspections.
We don't do code inspections.
Having that word code
Yeah, I know. But
it's a four-letter word.
No, I know it is. But if we're going to have it in there, it would be as an exclusion.
For that reason, that may be important.
That came from Intronacci, David?
Yes.
Yeah. And so let's talk about this for a moment. Certainly the applicable regulatory requirements are an inference to the codes, right? That's obviously. But it also includes local ordinances, Scottsdale fire sprinkler, all that kind of stuff, right? The purpose of the standards and the inspection is really to give the client a better understanding of the property. And frankly, there's still a whole bunch of clients out there that think we do code inspections. They do. They think, does it meet code, right? How many times does a house meet code?
Oh, once a week.
We get, right. So maybe having that word in there as a specific direct exclusion has a place. Because it's just, there's a lot of that confusion out there.
Do we say we don't do code inspections anywhere else in the standards?
I think that that's the only inference to it.
That's the only one.
Okay. That is the only one that's there?
I typed in the word code.
And that's the only place it shows up.
Yeah. Right.
Regulatory?
I just did code, but I can type in regulatory.
Code, yeah, I think this is the only place we do it, actually. This is in our limitations and exclusions.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the only place that shows up.
Hey, Mr. Smith.
I turned this off. I don't know why it's running.
No, Mr. Smith, any input on this?
I think it's a great idea, the code.
Mr. Schwartz?
I agree. I think it should be added. It's direct, specific exclusion is important.
No question about it, right? Okay. Yeah, I kind of like it.
To exclude code.
To exclude code specifically.
Okay.
Along with any applicable regulatory.
So we leave it?
No, we put it in.
Right.
Right. So okay. I think we leave it in.
All right, let's move down to 3.211. 11 says product recalls or conformance with manufacturers. Okay, we want to make some changes here. We want to move 11 to 12. We want to put in as 11 property boundary lines and encroachments. Property boundary lines and encroachments, and talk about that.
That's good stuff there, mm-hmm. David. That you brought in.
No one has any problems with that?
You know, the thing to know is that it appears to me, after reviewing ASHI and InterNACHI standards, that they both have kind of copied from each other.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know the extent of the wording perfection or how legally it works. You know, we're going to have Arizona ASHI look to adopt these. You know, just because it came from InterNACHI, perhaps, you know, I don't know how the interplay of that is, but...
You're worried about politics.
Yeah.
About what?
Politics?
No, more about just copyright type matters.
I don't think there's a copyright on property boundaries and or encroachments.
I know. That's my opinion, because they both have copied from each other, it appears, because there's only so many words to describe some of this. And, you know, unless legal has an issue with our, you know, standards representing a similar phrase, then
nope. None whatsoever.
Okay. But all these phrases are kind of general public domain stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's the point.
And we're not taking a whole chunk of anything and copying it. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Okay, I see that Kurt already entered the next one, which would, oh, wait a minute.
You want that manufacturer?
Okay, no, I got a number 12 here that says manufacturer's recalls or conformance with manufacturer's installation specifications. Manufacturer's recalls.
We already did that, right?
I thought it was there.
Product 13. Recalls, okay. Yeah, that's in there. Do we want it to be product recalls or manufacturer recalls?
Product is good.
We don't care who recalls it, actually.
I don't like manufacturers.
Yeah, it's a product.
Twice anyway.
Yeah. It could be a distributor recall, right? It may not be a manufacturer.
Okay, so leave 12?
I would leave it at recall.
And then we have 13, the insurability of the property. We added that ourselves.
Period at the end of 11.
All right. Anyone have any problems with 11, 12, or 13?
making the list longer, but that's okay.
Yeah, afraid that's the environment we're in. We need to be a little.
You're good?
Risk management here.
All right, let's move to 3.2B and stop there for a second. What's number four? Operate any system. Okay, we want to slide after three, put in a different four. And let's go with operate alarm systems, intercoms, audio. I had a different idea here. David, did you have any problem with my moving that stuff to electrical?
Yeah.
I didn't get any feedback.
It seemed like it was all electric related.
Yeah, we do have those exclusions within the section.
Okay, so what I got just to say then is operate alarm systems. I left something in for number four. Intercom audio video. Operate alarm systems intercom. Okay, pull out the number four. We don't need it.
Well, it's covered under electrical, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's going to show up in 8.3. All right, then let's go down and to 7. Determine the presence or absence of suspected. Okay, let's throw a different number 8 in there. And we'll put, we're going to discuss dismantle, open, or uncover. Dismantle, open, or uncover any system or component. Good discussion.
You know, something to consider, and I talked about it at the last meeting, was it might be valuable perhaps to, at the end in the glossary, just define dismantle in a way that if it takes more than a certain number of screws, like if you chose 4 screws or 6
screws.
Screw
theory.
That's a possibility of where to go, because then it crosses over from homeowner maintenance to this thing's buttoned up completely. This is not a cabinet that is a homeowner maintenance item, you know, and whatever you would decide about how to differentiate, but who... There's going to be serious argument about what dismantling is if you don't define it. I would say there's a potential for that.
I don't know. Personally, I don't like this at all.
Any of it?
Yeah. Because, well, when we were working with the national exam, the concept was to stay away from numbers. Stay away from 4 screws, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Let's.
It does clarify it, though, and I will tell you, there are some home inspectors, as part of their business practice, you know, that will say anything over 4 screws, I'm not taking it off. That's my business practice. That's the way I've been doing it. Mike Casey, a famous instructor, national instructor. That's his mantra. Over 4 screws, that's it. And he carries that through all his inspections.
We also somewhere, though, say that we're only going to look at areas that are designed for homeowner maintenance, right? Isn't that somewhere in here?
It is, and I'm looking for that right now.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that either.
It was definitely HVAC, though, wasn't it?
It might be. Check it out.
You know, that could
what are you looking
be,
for?
That's why it crosses over.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that would be better if it doesn't exist.
It's in here somewhere.
Peter, what are you looking
for? Homeowner maintenance.
Search the definition of readily openable access panel, I bet.
Yeah, readily.
Just a panel.
For homeowner inspection and maintenance.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll go back.
So it's the definition.
No. Try homeowner.
Yeah, readily we'll find it.
Yeah, readily. Homeowner maintenance. There it is. You're in 9.2C. It says open readily operable access panels provided by the manufacturer installed for routine homeowner maintenance.
Is that the only place it shows up in the document?
Homeowner or readily openable?
No, homeowner.
No, that's HVAC.
It's in,
and that
in
was
the
it's in both 9 and 10, Peter.
It's in both.
Yeah.
So it's in both heating and cooling.
So that's the question, is do we take it out of there and have it be more of a generic exclusion, whether or not we have a number on it?
I right? guess the...
Because the access panels could be more than just AC. It could be plumbing. It could be electrical. It
could be whirlpool tubs.
Could be jetted tub motor.
Yeah, one concern is you could then make it so that inspectors stop pulling dead front covers, you know, or something like that, which is an extremely important step. We have to do that, you know, to do our job when
yeah.
safe.
Yeah, no matter how many screws.
Because that's not designed for homeowner maintenance.
Which is a fact.
So it better be
so
only
it'll screw us on electric if we put it in general.
Yeah, maybe just cooling and heating is a good idea.
It's probably better right there and just pull it out of here.
Yeah,
this is really the only other place.
We're talking about access panels, so there. I mean,
right?
You know, that's heating and cooling.
Yep.
You know, because the
only other thing I can think of,
the air handler serves both
heating and cooling. Tub, and anyone who, I mean, I think that we've excluded operating a whirlpool tub anyway somehow in here. We'll check it out. I'm for not dealing with that one at all. Take it out. Anybody else?
You mean leave it in HVAC where it is?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not putting anything in general.
Yeah, pulling that out.
Pulling that out of general.
Anybody else? Pulling out that new 8 I wanted to put in.
So we convinced you otherwise.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good
you
with
good?
It. It's pretty minor.
Gentlemen, you're good? Okay, then in number 9, predict future conditions. No, that's not the 3.2.B would have been number 8. No. Which one says determine the presence or absence? Determine the presence or absence?
That would have been a new one.
Okay. Suspicious. Okay. NACHI goes a lot deeper than this. They go determine the presence or absence of any suspected hazards, including but not limited to environmental. You want to help us out? Yeah. Determine the presence or absence of any suspected put hazards into hazards. And then they go into, because we have including but not limited to environmental, add environmental, including but not limited to environmental before toxins. Toxins, fungus, mold spores, carcinogens, noise. After noise, you want to put electromagnetic fields, hazardous waste, contaminants wow. in, after input buildings, building components, soil, water, and air. Now let's discuss that.
Okay. So that's like
a whole bunch of stuff.
Do we need it?
The building components is to kind of cover on Chinese drywall. That's where that kind of was intended to help.
What's wrong with Chinese drywall?
It had, remember it corroded out the any copper in the house.
So it's not a carcinogen?
No, it's an environmental.
It's an environmental hazard.
Hazard to the
result. I think we need something else in that sentence, including but limited to toxins, booze, forms.
End it with et cetera.
That covers everything.
Determine the presence or absence of any suspected hazards, including but not limited to environmental toxins, fungus, molds, mold spores. I don't know what the difference between the two of those are. Mildew, radon, electromagnetic radiation, carcinogens, noise, electromagnetic fields, hazardous waste, contaminants in building components, soil, water, and air.
So, if we have mold, do we need mildew? Mildew is mold, right?
Well, mildew is the beginning of mildew.
I don't think mildew is technically mold.
It's not.
You don't think so?
No, it's just it's different. The first
yeah.
Depends who you talk to.
Yeah.
The mold guys say it's mildew.
Well, do we need mold spores if we have mold?
One's airborne, one's not. So I guess we need them both if we're going to have it in there.
According to Google, there is a difference.
Google.
But they're both nasty.
Suspected hazards.
Very true.
You.
Hazards.
I can't think of anything else to add to that.
Good.
It's just too bad. It's too bad we have to make this list so darn long. You know that?
Well, you know, you want to change the standards. If you want, for codes, we wanted to be sure, and this makes us sure when it comes to hazards.
Yeah, a little more defensible, right?
Yeah, if that's what we're looking for. We also have to worry about the general public, so I don't want it to be to the point where we don't inspect anything.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, the general public looks at our SOPs and they say, well, you guys don't do anything.
Right.
What am I paying $600 for? You guys don't do anything.
$600. Yeah, that's good.
Hey, we can't price fix here. Sorry.
We do section 1 through 12 of this document. We don't do whatever's in this section.
Yeah. That's right. That's the way David
puts it. Yep. Okay. We never get in arguments about all the amazing things we do. It's just the stuff that didn't get clarified.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I know. All right, I guess I'm all right.
I'm for putting a period on remove and read that. That's the wrong one.
Number 8, I mean, there's two different things there.
Number 8, dismantle. Wait a minute. Is that the one?
Yeah, we abandoned number 8 from the highlighted document you're looking at.
System scale to control the system. Determine the effectiveness.
So like radon mitigation system would be something that removes suspected hazardous substances.
What is that?
It's originally 8. Or remove suspected hazardous substances. You must have thrown that in last time or something.
Something got carried over from the edit.
And I think that's it right there. Here, let me slide down in this new version and see what I got. What are we on? 3 still?
Yeah.
On 3, 8. We didn't have nothing in there.
Peter? Just a thought on number 7, as you took out the word substance. If you really look at how that's reading now, determine the presence or absence of any suspected hazards. Hazards could be like an uneven step.
A hazard could include like an uneven floor surface where a toddler takes a wrong step and falls over. It could be any. Anything
hazards
in the property
really broad.
Could be a hazard, as opposed to just a substance if you're looking at environmental toxins.
Which is to get on a jail free card.
So we want to go back to hazardous substance?
If you're talking about substances, yeah. If you're talking about hazards in a much more general sense, but legally speaking, hazard is a huge category.
Yeah. Or environmental hazards. Like
environmental.
I would say environmental hazards.
You're going to have to be specific about hazards.
That would work. Environmental hazards.
Okay, so we pull environmental before toxins back up to before hazards, and that should cover it?
I would think so.
Well, are we still wide open?
Environmental.
Including 2.
Limits it.
Yeah,
it's saying environmental hazards, you're limiting it a good deal more.
But are we still outside behind the barn?
You want to get rid of environmental, don't you? To keep it hazard.
No,
that's too broad.
Hazard is too broad. It is too big of a
Yeah, I mean, environmental, I'm trying to think if environmental would, I mean, that could technically, getting into an area of the law that I haven't
practiced,
but technically an environmental hazard could get into property that the house is situated on or something.
Right.
I would imagine. It may need to be narrowed a bit more, but...
So,
I mean,
environmental hazards looks like it's kind of what you have there. Although they list air contaminants here, toxic waste, radiation, pesticides, heavy metals. Just looking at definition of environmental hazards.
Well, it's a long sentence.
Would you want to do like determine the presence or absence of suspected environmental hazards? Italicize it and go down to the glossary, which kind of specifies what those could be.
Do we have it in the glossary?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. It's way better than hazard substance.
Which is fields.
What was Scott's original intent? Hey, Scott, what was your original thing? Just leave it as hazard or add environmental?
Have something beside just hazards.
Yeah, if it's just the word hazard legally is a huge, huge term that covers.
Which is great if an inspector got violated for something. However, for the public, you're saying it needs to be a little more defined?
Well, it depends on what you want the inspector to either have to or not have to look at. Because if the inspector doesn't have to report on hazards, a hazard could be anything. It could be something with the electric that he notices. It could be the steps, a loose step or something. It could be something that you do want to check for, but that now is exempted from if he's not reporting on hazards.
But hazards is so broad, but things that they're supposed to look at are in there, trip hazards and things like that.
Right.
So it's already there. If you throw hazard, it kind of helps cover areas that he's not responsible for.
That's true, but you would need to then put something in there stating that anything specified in the statute overrides this. Because otherwise, if I'm a defense attorney, the first thing I'm going to do is say, look, right here, it specifies you're not responsible for reporting hazards. So, okay, here in the statute, it says you have to report on this type of hazard, but here it says you don't have to. So I would, and that's automatically, you've got to
make
a defense.
Gotcha.
So if you want to do it that way, you could say you're not responsible for reporting on hazards unless otherwise specified in these rules. But then he would look at it. The problem is it's easy to go down the rabbit hole because then you have the situation where you didn't think to specify something that seems obvious to you, and then somebody doesn't report on it, and then you go after them and they say, look, wait, you say unless it's specified in the statute or in the rule, you don't have to report it, and so it's a hazard. I didn't report it because it's not specified elsewhere. So,
So I believe that's true, and that environmental hazards is what we're talking about, and so we should start off with environmental hazards included and leave it as such.
And limit it to environmental. Sure. Keep in mind that
that's what we're talking about.
If we decide to keep in the bedroom fire egress component of it,
that would be a
hazard. That's a hazard, and that's one that I'm a little concerned that the inspector's on a big hook for. I know I brought it up, but
we'll talk about that.
But that's a hazard and a little bit of a opening. Yeah. Okay.
Everyone happy with environmental hazards, including but not limited to?
Yes. I'll second.
That number 8 question you had, that was always in the standard.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
All right. Now, we've got another one.
Just a typo on it.
Kurt hasn't changed it yet.
Remove. Thank you.
Remove.
All right.
Determine effective of any system installed to control or remove suspected hazards.
Are we done with 7 yet? Are we done with 7?
Yeah.
Suspecting environment. Okay, got it.
Okay, what was the next one? Predict. Okay, 11. But in this case, it's 9, I guess. What am I missing here? Oh, we didn't do 8. Okay, so this one down to 8. We got Stick with us, Kurt, because you're the only one who's keeping track.
Looks like you're on determine the effectiveness, which is...
No, we don't want to change it.
Okay.
Okay.
Predict life expectancy.
Predict life expectancy, future conditions, including but not limited to the failure of components.
So it's just missing that front
bit. Predict life expectancy. Predictor is already there. Life expectancy, take out your other predict then. There you go. Future and not limited to... failure. Components, any problem with putting life expectancy in there?
So we're keeping the rest of it.
We're keeping the
life expectancy, future conditions, including.
We don't do life expectancy, we know that, but this just designates that. And this is straight out of into notch. You got a problem with it?
No. I think it's another good one, actually, for the public. We're constantly getting asked, you know, how many more years do I have on the air conditioning unit? How many more years on the roof? We're constantly getting that.
And you don't tell them? Okay.
Give them the best I can.
Project operating costs, okay. Evaluate acoustics, okay. Okay, now. Evaluate acoustics. Where'd that 12 come from? Evaluate function and efficiency of multi-zone HVAC systems, dampers, and thermostats. Okay. Leave that. Unless you
We tossed that around last meeting.
But you guys left dampers in, I saw.
HVAC.
Last time. You left dampers in for some reason on HVAC.
Only in the fireplace section.
Oh, okay. Just for fireplace. Right. Okay.
Evaluate function and efficiency of... Well, shouldn't this be in HVAC?
It's specific to it, isn't it?
Let me see what we got. Which HVAC?
Probably a better fit in the
it's 9. 9. Operate.
So we scratched dampers from 5.
Yeah.
And put it as a general.
No, we put it into fireplaces. We took it out of HVAC and put it, we took it out of heating and put it into fireplaces.
That's right. It's because there's.
Yeah. Okay, so.
So we'd have to have it in both heating and cooling, and it required to, right?
Evaluate the function and efficiency of multi-zone HVAC systems. It could be in either or.
General is encompassing of everything. That is specific to HVAC.
It is, yeah.
So I support moving it.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know that it belongs in general, Peter, right?
Right.
So, but we'd have to put it in on both heating and AC, not required to.
In cooling, it's under, it says normal operating controls, so that's going to cover you on thermostat.
Yeah, but we need to disclaim the zoning piece, right?
Yeah. Can we copy that off to 9.3E?
I'll start with that.
6. Let's start there. If there isn't a 6 already. Can you take out 12? 9.3E. Whoa. 17. We've done some work on this
one. I just noticed that here it says system central air conditioning. We changed that to cooling.
There may be a couple of references in there.
I'm going to paste that there. All right, leave it there. Let's go back to where we were in 3, and we'll pick that up when we get there.
All right.
So I have another. We want to go into 3.2b, to the end of 3.2b, we stop at 11. would you be? I got an 11, evaluate acoustics. Okay. I got another one to add. Put in the next one. Let's do determine the age of construction or installation of any system. Structure or component of the building? Determine the age. Let me go again. Determine the age of construction or installation of any system. Comma. Structure or component of a building. Comma. Of a building. Don't matter what it is. Or differentiate. I'll give you a minute to spell that. Differentiate. Between original construction and subsequent additions, comma, additions, comma, improvements, comma, renovations, or replacements. Let's talk about that.
True.
This is straight out of international matching. Determine the age of construction or installation of any system, structure, or component of a building, or differentiate between original construction and subsequent additions, improvements, renovations, or replacements. Comments?
What does it mean?
That's
determine the age of things that were done to the house, or the age of the house itself, which cracked me up.
This is often a matter of lawsuits occur over the ambiguity of whether we have to determine this or not. I've seen it.
So the water heater, you don't say anything as far as that's what you're saying here.
See, that
and we, air conditioning, all that stuff.
And we move it with the permit stuff, the municipal stuff.
Well, this is in our general. This is our general. This is our general exclusions.
Right. Somebody needs another comma somewhere.
Yeah. Differentiate between original construction and subsequent additions. Okay, there should be a comma after construction. No, the second
We need another comma there somewhere. I'm not sure where, though.
Subsequent additions, improvements, renovations, and replacements.
Not exactly. Because we really do mean determine the age of structure component, right? So we need to adjust the commas accordingly.
Or the build of the house. When was the house built?
Right.
When was anything on that site built?
Right.
You're not responsible.
Yeah, we either have to take out construction or installation of any system, or take out structure or component of the building.
Yeah, just
one or the other.
Some kind of sentence structure in there.
Determine the age of the structure or component of a building, or differentiate between original construction, subsequent additions, improvements, renovations. Replacements is actually redundant to improvements.
You're right, yeah.
Determine the age of the structure or component of the building. You're also going to want a comma after the first word structure. First structure. Determine the age of the structure or component of a building, or differentiate between original construction and subsequent additions, improvements, and renovations. It's a little better.
You know, there's nowhere else in the standards that we reference additions, do we?
No.
Well, then we need to, right? We really need to address additions and renovations.
More than
in
this,
the standards.
More than this, we're talking about at the moment.
Right? No, I'm saying we at least need. You know, the more you think about it, probably should have been in there before, and it's such a big part of what we do. Again,
I wish it was. I wish it had been in there. Personally.
Uh-oh.
Bad inspection.
What's wrong with it, David?
Just to say, you're right, because I've been in a dispute legally that costs money just to defend yourself, and that would have fixed it. You know what I mean? They're disastrous. This type of thing can be a disaster for the inspector when they did nothing wrong. And then you took out replacements in favor of using improvements to mean replacements. And if you did something that was a like for like, like it's not a more efficient, it's the water heater is not more efficient.
In other words, its quality is the same.
Yeah, then that might imply that there is value in keeping the word replacement in.
Because it's different than improvement.
Yeah, an improvement would imply to me, I'm not a lawyer, but would imply to me that it's better than what was there. Kind of thing.
Like, isn't the fact that it's just new, even if it was like for like, an improvement upon the one that was replaced, maybe?
Especially if that one was leaking.
Yeah. One could argue if it's new, it's an improvement, right?
I would argue it.
Yeah,
so not
know.
Being an attorney?
To have one word as an assistance in clarity is always good. You know,
yeah.
Yanking out a word unknowingly that can make things clear. Doesn't
you
hurt
can
any.
Take out a comment and ruin the whole thing.
And you should have got rid of every one of these.
And you, it's not the
well. Yeah, I would say from a legal standpoint, if you have a choice between putting one word in or having the discussion we're having right now, where you have multiple people with different attitudes and viewpoints looking at it and discussing it, that's what will happen in court.
Right.
So if you can add one word, you just removed a court hearing.
Yeah, so let's put it back in, Peter.
All right, I like it. I always like what Mr. Dowling says anyway.
Yes.
Hey, so Peter, specifically, what are you addressing with this paragraph?
We don't want to determine the age of the structure.
Okay.
Or when they put the new water heater in.
Okay.
Right.
Or how old the addition is.
Or when they put the roof on.
The roof, all that.
Okay.
All
right. Although we're going to end up having to do that anyway, but we don't want to be held responsible for our opinions. Okay, now the next one, what's after that? Any input? Operator automatic safety controls? Oh, that was proposed. Did we ever put that in? Oh, we're in 3B. Let's see if we put that in here. Which changes.
I don't. No, it was just proposed. It's not in. It's not in the draft. It came out just the other day.
Yeah. Okay. Let me take one. Yeah.
So that gets back in HVAC on the automatic safety controls, right?
That's where it belongs. Is automatic safety controls should be in HVAC. But we don't want to. I think it is in HVAC anyway.
When I did my cut, I think it's when it stricken that.
Yeah, and you then, hold it and you move it.
Yeah, and the ones that you, the language you guys preferred is now down below.
Yeah, it is both in heating and cooling. Yeah.
Okay, so you can strike that out completely and put in the second number 12. Okay, there you go. And then we have 13. Determine the insurability of the property. Comments?
That's like general. It belongs in the general category.
Right. Any more comments on insurability of the property?
It's good stuff because some companies will choose not to insure a property for some reason.
I was going
to
say, I thought we already had this somewhere else, and it's under A.
It's under A?
Mm-hmm.
Under A?
General exclusions 3.2A is.
Let me see, 3.2A.
It's right there as this 13 up here.
Yeah, but 3.2A, we're in
American. Okay, but what's it say? What's the title of A? 3A? Not required to report on. Slide down again now. The insurability of the property is already in there.
Then B.
Required to.
So I guess it's just the verb that you have at the beginning of the sentence that determines if it's A or B.
What's the. You're talking about. I got you.
So it belongs in A, right? Report on. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I would leave it in A.
Okay.
Inspectors are not required to report on the insurability of the property. Okay, so let's pull it out of B.
Okay.
And then I got one more. Yep, you're way ahead of me. Inspect any system or component that is not included in these standards. We need to talk about that.
That was in there, right?
Thought it was.
That was in there somewhere, Peter. Where was that before?
Okay, can you search that phrase? Maybe it's up in... No. Now, what we say is... that we have to note the ones that are in the standards that we're supposed to. This is that's a limitation. State any systems in 2.3 we have the limitations. These standards are not intended to limit the inspectors from reporting on observations or conditions in addition to those required. But state any systems, describe any systems, but we never never say. Anything about we're not responsible to report on anything not in the standards that I can find. Do we need it? I mean, these are the standards. These are what we're supposed to report on. Do we have to actually say that we're not responsible to report on anything outside the standards?
Well, I guess my question, Peter, is 2.2 Baker, does that limit the standards just to the installed components and systems that are defined? It seems like that statement there limits our scope to just the standards that are hereby defined, right?
Yep.
Doesn't it?
It does. It says the same thing in different words, actually. It
says the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. You want to be more...
I guess the question is, do we need to further limit the scope of the standards in a general way? Anybody?
Well, do you want this, do you want 2.2B to say, observe readily accessible installed systems and components listed in these standards and nothing else?
And not a damn thing else. Can we put that in and not a damn thing else?
We can if we spell damn wrong.
But that's the place for it. Anything.
Okay, so which one do you like better? Inspect any system or component that is not included in these standards or observe readily accessible installed systems and components listed in these standards?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I can throw one legal point in there.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we like to do to annoy people.
Uh-huh.
Those actually can coexist. The reason being under 2.2B, inspectors shall observe readily accessible, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't say they shall only do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they shall do that. They have to do that. It doesn't mean there isn't other stuff they should have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is just saying that regardless of anything else, they have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next section is the one that says that you're only required to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you could move it all up into one section, but you do need to have both those thoughts there. Unless you want to have always a possibility that someone could say, okay, well, the statute tells you what you have to do, but it doesn't say you don't have to do this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good idea to have both. Then I would leave it down in the exclusions rather than try to bring it up into the shalls, put it into the shall nots,
nots. Yeah, typically that way, you get, because this the first section under 2.2B, that gets you into the realm of here's what you should do,
mm-hmm.
and you know here are the things that you have to do,
mm-hmm.
and then exclusions goes ahead and limits off everything else,
mm-hmm.
to make sure you know that you, and including some things that you might think would be included in there, just cutting out of there.
Very good. So inspect any system or component that is not included in these standards under 3.2B. Is a good idea.
And
any
a
more
period,
comments?
A period on 13 there.
Appreciate it.
So we got it both places.
Right. We got it what we need to do, and we have
what
we
don't need to do.
Don't.
pretty clear that way, huh?
And that always makes Mr. Donald and Mr. Schwartz happy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
All right. Now, let's just slide along. Wait a minute. Let's see what this other gentleman had to say. Three. No, he doesn't have nothing to five.
Nothing else.
Okay. Three. Let's slide through four to see, show these gentlemen what we did last time. There's nothing. We changed in 4.2. We changed our capital to non-capital. We took out columns. We better see what we got going on. Four. Okay. And well,
we took out description of columns, but we did not take out.
Slide up to
columns as a.
Okay, that's 4.2.
What we have to inspect.
4.2A. How did columns get away from us? We must have moved it somewhere.
We struck it from describing the type of columns.
Okay, 4.0. Right. I'm in 4.1. Okay, so you're saying we took columns out of describe, so we don't have to give the type of column?
The majority of columns that I have to report on are concealed with surface materials in one way, shape, or form. We don't know if it's steel. We don't know if it's wood, a post.
We did that in 4.24. We took it out. You don't have to describe it, but you have to observe it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I miss that meeting?
No,
you were sitting right there where you are now.
Okay, so we want the type, or rather we want the condition, but not the type of the column.
Right, we don't need to describe it.
Okay, let's keep going. Yeah. We still have ceiling and roof structures in there, and we stopped. Yeah. And then 4.2B?
Yeah, hold on before you go further. We need plural for floor structures, because many homes have two different floor structures, a slab at the main level and then framing at the upper level on two-story homes or three-story homes or whatever.
Well, yeah. It brings up a point there, plural and singular in that list in A, and it should probably be all consistent, right?
Well, then you're going to have to jump into roofings. Roofing as plural, roof coverings. Okay. I have no problems in making that plural. Does
but
anyone?
We would have to make them all or nothing, right? Plural or singular?
What do you mean?
Structures, foundations. I'm sorry, was there a comment?
Yeah, we're waiting for a comment.
No, I think that was...
You can mute it.
I don't know what that was.
Okay.
Well, actually, the title, 4.1, the inspector shall observe A, structural components, is already...
Components, including...
Foundations, the floors, walls, columns. Okay, so we get down here to 4.2. Inspector shall describe. We should keep it.
I guess we should keep it plural, right?
We can keep it plural. Structural control, describe. Why doesn't 4.1 and 4.2? Why aren't they similar? Why doesn't A say foundation structure, 2 say floor structure?
You would think, yeah.
You know, because we're talking about a structure, but we're in structure. So well, maybe we call structure.
Under A.
Huh?
It says structures under A, so they just left it out. You guys left it out and put it in the
structural components. Yeah.
Structural components.
Yeah, so...
Describe the type of... Okay, I see why
they did. They just had a global structure.
All right. Even though we have structural components in 4-point title system. All right, I don't care. Yeah, let's... any problem with making it a plural?
What? 4.2A?
4.2As, right?
Put all but there's probably 4.2. Really no reason to make it plural because the floor structure... I mean, even if you have a two-story, that's still another structure.
Right, no, I know. We're just trying to figure out the best way to...
This is really just wordsmithing.
It is wordsmithing, and this is more of a grammarian than us, frankly.
Describe the types of...
Well, could... Okay, what would be a situation with
I think it's fine, singular.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. If there was multiple foundation, what do you mean? Like it could be? Yeah.
You could have a crawl space, and basement, and a slab on grade all in the same building.
Nothing gets excluded. It's just what's clearer.
You would still say the foundation is what you just said, right?
Yeah.
What Roger said was a pretty good idea. Types of types. So then
describe the types of foundation for our structures. Wall structures.
That's a pretty good idea, right there. Because then, if there are multiples,
yeah, it's not a bad idea. Types.
I'll put the S in parentheses that way.
Of course, that's a single
or plural.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, but
then it
doesn't carry properly.
Good.
Then it's
the
pre.
Then if you have,
types of. Oh, no, that works.
That works.
Parentheses.
Then if there's multiples, they can't get out of it. You got to describe them all pretty well.
That works. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, good.
Okay.
And we pulled columns out of it. Okay, B. Let me see. Anybody here? No. David, no. You got nothing in there, right, David?
No, not till 5.
Not till 5, okay. So, did you guys see the changes we made now? Do you like them?
So, we
put a number in on
right,
B2.
Yeah, 16 by 24.
Yeah.
We went with the numbers, but we spelled them out. Now, with you on that. I was there on that.
So a 24 on center opening would not be clear of 24, right? So if a framing member is at a 24-inch center, it's technically shy of, the opening is shy of 24 inches.
You mean by a little bit?
By three. Yeah.
Well, nominal. The term nominal means about, right?
Yeah.
It says nominal?
Well, maybe it should, because that's what the code uses. Nominal means in the ballpark.
No, it doesn't. It means that.
That's
means
how they take it to mean. That's how the accepted definition is.
Nominal is a 2x4. Actual is, a, you know, a 1.5
right.
by 2.5.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, 24 inches, 16x24. So do we want the number? We were giving them a heads up. That's why we put that in there.
Okay. Well,
and it changes.
24-inch on center.
If I was in a major case, I would attempt to cost the other side a bunch of money with lawyers by saying that clear opening is not 24 inches wide. Period. We're all done talking
about 23 inches.
So if it depends what the goal is there, you know, because
the goal was just to give them a heads up, really.
I know.
You know,
that's the morass when we start talking numbers.
That's
but like I didn't go in the crawl space because I did not have 16 inches by 24 clear. If it's not that, I'm not going in. And I win, I believe, with a good lawyer, I win. I didn't have to go in. But you said I didn't have
to. You would state your exclusion anyway in your report. Just say the opening was too small.
And those are the two common nominal, you know, framing conditions.
Yeah.
So just a technicality that can, you know, cause trouble if we wanted to solve it. I don't really know if I care that much, but.
If we say approximate, it opens up the door too much.
What are we on, 5? Did we add this whole thing? What do we add?
You want to go down to 5?
Yeah, we added the whole darn thing. So there's nothing in our standards about crawl spaces.
I think you're right, 24. Mm-hmm.
Not required to. We don't have any.
Yeah, well, we needed to have some direction in there for crawls because we had nothing before.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have something in there, and 16 by 24 is way better than what we have now, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
You at least a measurement.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, somebody could argue a quarter or a half inch at any point in time, but...
Well, who brought up the objection? Wasn't that you?
No, David had mentioned that you know, a 2x4, two foot on center, technically you don't have that width. A full 24 inch, technically. So it's a technicality. But I don't see it as a big exposure here, frankly. I think the inclusion of the 16x24 is way better than what we had before.
Which was nothing.
Yeah. And it provides pretty clear instruction. And does it in a way that is kind of an acceptable clearance in our, you know.
And there's not a real fix for it because trim can be installed that cuts it even further.
Right.
You know, we couldn't just take the width of half a stud, you know, and fix this.
There's wood trims that get installed and jam trims that get installed that make it narrower. It's a judgment call always by the inspector, but at least they've got some clear guidelines here, which they had nothing before.
I agree.
What, do you want to go down to 15 by 23?
No, I agree with what Paul just said. I just brought it up to talk it through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be more limiting to the heavier person anyway. They're not going to be able to get in.
That's
anyway.
True. And then you're going
to
have to.
In, they're unable. Yeah.
Well, do you want to handle it like we handle attic accesses?
Yeah.
Not safe, I think, is how we handle that, isn't it?
No, well,
this applies to both underfloor and attic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so we're there. We're in that section. Okay. Yeah. So we had nothing. So that would have been in the general exclusion where it was unsafe. Okay. Okay, I have no problem with leaving it there.
Okay.
Unless you want to put 16 by 24 approximately.
No.
Approximate just opened. It's too much wiggle room in approximate.
Sorry,
right?
What was the other word?
It's too subjective.
There was another word you were losing.
Nominal. I didn't say anything.
For
nominal.
Nominal, that was it.
Yeah. We'd have to define nominal. Definition.
I looked it up, and it's actually... the definition could work, but it still doesn't provide enough clarity to change anything.
Right.
So what you have is pretty good. You know.
Well, question. While you're in court, if it was 16 by 24 framed in and then someone put an access cover on it and had to jam it out for some reason, and it actually came down to 22 by 15, okay? Mm-hmm. Couldn't a good defense lawyer say, or other side, say that that's close enough? I mean, isn't there anything that's close enough?
If the statute or rule says 16 by 24, if it's not 16 by 24, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's over. It's a great thing to have.
That's an absolute bar at that point because you haven't violated the statute.
That's it, then.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So if they did jam it all in, put on a door on something that was 16 by 24. Roughed in, then a guy can actually say, no, I can't go in there because it's less than 16 by 24, and he has defense.
If it's 15 and 7/8 by 24, he's got a defense.
Okay.
Yep.
So that means you would never have to go in an attic. That's trouble.
Yeah.
So the word nominal, let me just go back to this definition that, you know, this is just what I can pull up on the internet.
Because, again, code uses it all the time.
Yeah. So
it kind of said, stated or expressed, but not necessarily corresponding exactly to the real value. So to say nominal, that definition gets you in the ballpark maybe, because, you know, we're saying a nominal opening that's used in construction all the time, nominal dimensions. Now you're at least closer to... avoiding the hard line that right now sets.
So the word nominal would be an advantage.
I think it would make it so a home inspector could not say, look, I measured
it. They couldn't wiggle out.
An eighth less, so I didn't go in the attic. It doesn't really give them that because it's a 24-inch nominal opening. You got to go in.
Nominal should be in our
center.
Huh?
You don't have to go in. Even if it's bigger, you don't have to go in if you think there's something going on. Or
right.
You, can't
you just
access.
Have to state the purpose.
You actually have to state why you did not.
Exactly. Right. And that's all you got to do. I think you guys are really trying to isolate this to where it's going to be.
Well, this makes
not
trouble.
Very evident. I think the hard 16 by 24 is perfect.
Then you'll never have to go into that.
You don't have to. And that inspector isn't going to have a good business if he doesn't get up there. That's all.
There's always that. The industry will blow him out.
That's right.
You know, aren't most attic accesses larger than 16 by 24?
No, it can't be. Your trusses are on 16 or on 24 inch
center. 24 on center.
Yeah, that's the 16. The other way is the 24.
I guess you could go.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Reality is
that might be a reality.
Probably serves the public better if we had the word nominal in there, so nobody weasels out. That's smart enough to weasel out of this and just disclaim, hey, it was uncomfortable in there. It was 22 and a half inch width. I don't have to go in there.
Put it in there. Let's see what can.
The clearance, I think Scott.
Clearance is less than a nominal 16 by 24.
So then I'm going to go devil's advocate again.
Yep.
I'm going to flip sides.
Go the other side, right.
I'm going to flip sides. So now, where does nominal end? And it really is too tight to get in, right? Because it's, okay, it's 16 inches nominal center to center of trusses, right? But they trimmed it out so intensely that now the thing's down to 14 or 13 inches. That's a nominal, wait, that's a 16 inch nominal opening, you know? So
you know, you can only look at it just like any EAC. You address it when the complaint comes in, and it's a case-by-case basis, right?
Yep.
Right? That's all we could do on that for nominal. It's subjective, right? It's a subjective term that isn't great, but is it better than not having any clarification on the exact 16 by 24? Is it better having the word nominal in there or not?
I think it's better to have it in.
And Keith, you think the other way, right?
I do, and I think Scott, what do you think?
Well,
I mean, if you're going to court and you've got nominal there, now you're opening it up to interpretation of what nominal is. If you have a hard 16 by 24, boom, it's just like that, you know, right?
Well, in that circumstance, yes. If you have a hard and fast number, it's better than nominal. However, if, and this is where I'm not a home inspector, so legally speaking, I don't know how often it's going to come up where the numbers will be helpful if the way construction is performed, you would never actually have a space that met certain circumstances. So when they're discussing the width of different spaces and all, if it's something that due to the nature of the industry, having the numbers is actually going to preclude any kind of enforcement, then there's a problem that way as well. Nominal is going to be the legal battleground in any one of these cases, absolutely. It may be helpful for the committee to consider perhaps having, instead of nominal, having other language, perhaps 16 by 24, with an allowance of X number of inches for, or 16 by 24 exclusive of any trim, or 16 by 24 as measured by the
rough opening.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, because it said clearance, right? The clearance, doesn't clearance indicate that would be
the hole.
Physical hole? Right.
Yeah.
And that is in code all over the place.
Right.
It's like,
is it?
Yes, that's the way. It actually gets bigger, I think, if you're going up.
It does.
Yeah.
Because I thought that too. Like, well, does that mean like the framing? Yeah. Which I think Paul was maybe saying, but it.
This is why the national exam stays away from numbers.
No,
not all.
When we're doing the feasibilities.
So then we keep nominal, or do we go back the way it was?
Well, I think it's a little better for the consumer if we put nominal in, frankly. If I had my consumer hat on.
You can get your head in this.
Yeah.
If I had my inspector hat on, I wouldn't want it in there. Right?
Yeah.
trying to think outside.
Maybe the other way to think about it, since those are the two common spacing widths, is give an inch and a half for the framing member, typical framing member thickness, and then another half inch, which would be
drywall
or a trim section, a half trim inch board material. So if
you mean actually adjust these numbers,
adjust
a little
downward,
bit, and then not use nominal,
right?
And lower our minimum.
15 by 23.
Yeah. And I don't think that gets you there, because the inch and a half would be have to be subtracted for the width of the two trusses or.
Well, I think of floor spaces, because Roger was right. When you got an access in the garage, it's actually going to use the 16 inches between the trusses.
Right.
And the 24 width in the length of the truss. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bigger.
Yeah, yeah, so our only trouble one usually is the lowest one, right?
Yeah.
The 16. So you'd have width of material, so there's an inch and a half. And then if you had a half inch,
door
trim
stop
members on mm-hmm. both sides, that's another inch. Mm-hmm. So it's actually 1.5, 2.5 inches. So if you took 3 inches off of that, you should be like, that's it. It's got to be at least 13 inches by, if you want to hold 24, you could.
Then, well, no, in the crawl spaces, you may not have that in height. You know, I would drop the 3 on both sides.
On both.
For sills and heads.
So 13 by 21, maybe, is what you're 13 thinking.
13 by 21, and then the whole industry will laugh at us.
That's right.
Who's fitting through that?
I don't think we can do that.
Man, I have never cared about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thought. I don't think we could do that in our standards and just say, well, let's throw some other numbers out there. If we're going to put numbers on, they have to be in industry accepted numbers, tried and true over many, many years, as opposed to picking stuff out of the air. But what we're talking about is trying to, you know, we could just use the word nominal in there, and all that will be factored in.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Except there is some subjectivity to it, so we have to carry that on. But I think it's worth the risk, frankly, of having nominal in there.
I like it with nominal, and let the lawyers.
I like
deal
it
with
as well.
I do too, because an expert had come in and
good.
Say
so
what I three. Just said.
All right.
Yeah.
I think
we're good. Just still discussing. Okay. We're going to leave it as the clearance is less than a nominal 16 inches by 24 inches. Problems?
I'm nominally pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hang on now. Let me see what else we have here. Wait a minute. No, we're looking at old ones, okay? C, D was moved back to C.
Right.
E was moved back to D. Took out abnormal or harmful condensation. Okay.
Right.
Report signs of penetration into the building or signs of condensation on building components.
That's where we got the windows, right? Window seals.
Okay. All right.
Slide down to 5, exterior. We got some comments on 5. Let me see. We'll first look at what we did at 5.2. Okay, so 5.1, garage, vehicle, and door operators.
Doors,
vehicle and doors
vehicle
and
doors.
Doors.
Mm-hmm. And door operators. Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Inspector shall observe garage, vehicle, and door operators. Vehicle and door operators?
No,
garage,
vehicle,
doors.
Vehicle, doors, and door operators. Put a comma at the doors if you want. So that I don't get confused. Thank you. All right. 5F. Any apparent adverse effect on the condition of vegetation, grading, drainage, driveways, patios, walkways, and retaining walls with respect to any apparent adverse effect on the condition of the building. Anybody got a problem with that? Hearing none, let's move down to 5.2. Okay, 5.2, the changes we made were 5.2C, report whether or not any garage, vehicle, door operator will automatically reverse when tested using any available method. And that's C. And then D, we got some questions. Describe the method used for the vehicle door operator testing. Inspector shall D, describe the method used for vehicle door operator testing. All right. And I got a question here that says, I would remove this. This is from, what's the gentleman's name?
Oh, Steve said that?
Steve. Okay, this is from Steve. We'll just call him Steve. Okay. I would remove this one.
As
I see this being problematic due to the fact that the accepted method of using a wood block can easily damage a door and have and having to note that you used an alternative method may be a liability.
I agree.
Okay. Keith agrees. So what he's saying is take it out, that we don't need to describe the method used. But rather, defer back to C, which says report whether or not any garage vehicle door operator will automatically reverse.
I guess I'm not sure I see the liability for stating the method of reversing the door. I'm not sure I get that.
What if it's not a approved method? Because some guys just use their hands. The appropriate way is to put the block down, right? So now...
Yeah, but I will tell you
exerting... Well, the recommended way is to put the block down. There's no rule about a block on the floor.
And there's an industry
accepted... probably in the manufacturer's installation guide for testing it and all that stuff. So now you just...
But our let's call it our standard of care as home inspectors, we exert pressure on the door. Yeah. That's normally what we do, by exerting pressure while the door is operating.
There's probably several ways to do it.
Right.
That's in conflict... happens to be in conflict with what the manufacturer recommends, then having stated it is probably trouble.
It is.
If it breaks.
If you're not
then
if
you're
in compliance with the manufacturer's...
If a child gets hurt or a car gets damaged or whatever.
Well, you didn't test it according to the manufacturer's recommendation.
Right,
they're
that
not
was
consistent. They don't seem to have any consistency to it. Manufacturers.
It seemed like the compromise for not requiring the resistance testing was to state the method of testing.
They're going to report whether it did it or not.
Right.
I think the general public is actually protected by C, that we actually do test it.
I agree.
And I think the home inspector is protected by eliminating D.
Me too.
And that protects all of Arizonians.
Because
except the baby who got underneath it.
Yeah.
It's a big three-way argument. I've heard a roll of paper towels. I've heard a block of wood. I think hands work best.
I know hands work best.
And so just because we're in the field doing it and the manufacturer doesn't agree with us doesn't make us wrong.
True.
It just flat doesn't. So I think it doesn't need to exist.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And I don't have any issue at all not conforming with that old manufacturer's requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Antiquated, frankly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we can remove D. I would, right?
I do
all
too.
In favor. Any of anybody who wants to keep D? Is no. Okay.
No.
Kurt. Good job. Yeah. Okay, so that's.
I'll go with the masses here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to 5-3. These are our changes we made. We struck I. Which says the integrity of seals, interior coatings, and blah, 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 blah. And, we didn't strike it completely. We put coatings on and the hermetic seals between panes.
We just cleaned it up.
Okay. And now we got to comment on 5-3A. 5-3A.
We add pet doors.
Pet doors. I see no reason to add pet doors. Not required to observe pet doors. If it's a hole in the building, I think you might want to require.
I see a lot of water intrusion coming in around pet doors.
And we should note it.
It's a hole in the cladding.
I see exposed framing at pet doors
right.
because of trim problem. I see all sorts of things at pet doors. I don't want to exclude them.
Yeah. But we want to make sure we're not trying to operate anything on the pet door. You ever see the electronic ones? But no. But no, I
those are neat.
I think we should.
Is it low voltage?
Battery,
there was a sensor. It was a sensor when the dog walked up, the thing opened up.
I got that.
Yeah.
For my son.
Luxury home. So, all right, let's leave.
Okay, I said no on that.
All right.
Okay, and no on that. Okay, we're going to slide to 6.
So, we're not going to put pet doors in?
No.
We're not going to.
Unless you want them.
Do you feel strongly about pet doors?
Well, yeah, I feel strongly because I have two dogs. So. But
so you want to exclude the pet doors?
You think they should be excluded or
no,
included?
No, I think they should be included.
Okay. Therefore, yeah, so we don't want
so
to
we don't
exclude
want to
put
them. It in.
We don't want to exclude them.
They're just another opening.
Yeah, we don't want to exclude, exactly.
Right. And that's what you said. It wasn't
okay.
5-3 exclusions? Yes.
Yeah, he wanted to exclude.
6, roofing. Yeah. These are the changes we made. Visible roof drainage systems.
I have a comment.
Okay.
Is it clear enough for the 6.1B visible roof drainage systems? So would it make sense to say visible portions of roof drainage systems? Because the first time I read that, I was like, well, a roof drain system is not a visible roof drainage system.
Right,
so I get to ignore that system. It's not a visible system. So every bit of it I get to ignore because it says right there, I don't have to observe it. Right, but a roof drainage system where
so you're concerned with say a roof drain with a strainer on it. If the whole system's not visible, you don't have to say that there's no strainer. Is that your concern?
Kind of the beginning point and the termination point does need to get looked at. But can a person argue that that's a roof drainage system with internal flow? Is really not a visible roof drainage system.
But we already have a general exclusion on readily accessible, though, right? Does that cover it?
Maybe. Trying to, throw stuff out there.
Right.
That my first impression when I read it was, can a guy do that? Maybe. Let's talk about it. Guy or gal.
Because that's a roof drain where we see very little of.
So what we really mean, though, is visible portions of roof draining systems, because lots of time. Like if it goes into a underground system to terminate way out of
Actually, I like that. Visible portions of, we just add those two words on there.
How about you, Roger?
Visible portions of? For the pipe roof drains, we can't see the vast majority of that pipe. We only see
put the word
two ends
portions
of it.
In, yeah.
And when it goes in the ground and it terminates, who knows where?
It's true. You get the downspouts going to the ground. You have no clue where they discharge to. You don't see a pipe anywhere.
Maybe do and maybe don't, but I don't know how it performs. I don't get to see it. So I'm only able to look at the visible portion.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
There you go.
And sliding down to 6.3, we made a change. So we added C, observe underground roof drainage systems.
Oh, there you go.
What?
Inspector is not required to observe underground roof drainage systems.
So it kind of extends specifically off the structure to the ground then for the roof drain, basically, right?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Exactly what David was mentioning.
I think they're both very good.
Yeah.
Anybody got a problem? All right, so adding down to 7. We made changes? Why is piping under?
Well, that's just because it wants to be capitalized.
Oh, okay. I see why. Okay, 7.1E, drainage sumps. Why the drainage sumps and waste ejector pumps? What? Are we just going to call them sumps? Because the sump is actually the pit. We want to drain the sump pump, don't we?
Yeah, it's a sump pump.
This is a not... Re- no, this is a... What are we in? 7.1 is we have to inspect.
We're in plumbing, so...
Inspector Shell.
What we have to observe. We need to talk about this one again here for a minute. So, again, our intention is... obviously, sewer ejector, waste ejector pumps, part of the drainage system we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Drainage sumps are more groundwater related and more into the basement sump pump scenario that we might have other than outside of the valley, right? The basement sump pump, right? That's why we put drainage sumps in for those basements, right?
Because they're really... how about the presence or absence of? as opposed to the condition of. Shall observe is a condition.
Well, then every report will have to say that there is not one, you know, for houses in the valley that don't have basements.
Yeah, that's true. But we asterisk that on our report checklist.
Can we exclude sumps and grading and drainage? Sump pumps and grading and drainage, is that excluded anywhere?
I thought you argued for this.
Me?
Peter.
I might have.
Because we almost never get to test, we're not going to be required to test any pump in the sump. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're not going to have to bring out a water supply to fill those things up and see if the pump works.
When we try and address the groundwater, I thought it was in exterior somewhere. I'm not really sure. Maybe we just never had it.
Or it might be in plumbing. I think it was in plumbing, actually.
It was all in plumbing. Maybe that's where it all was.
We're in plumbing.
Yeah, I know.
Should be in plumbing. We just have to be more specific about it. We took it out of interiors.
So if we're going to have drainage sumps in there, we do need to be specific. So we're not dealing with anything away from the structure, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to clean this up. There it is. Okay. So it's the the inspector shall observe drainage sumps.
I'm going to take it out.
Do you want to eliminate sumps altogether?
Most of us will do it, you know, to the extent we can. We're just so limited on it. We don't see, we don't get to test it. We don't get...
And you can't always get down to the float and flip it up and see if the pump comes on. You can't always access it. Sometimes there's a big metal cover on it with more than four screws.
Yeah, and then you put a limitation. And that implies, like, adequacy and... design
right.
Perfection and some of these aspects that we have to observe and report on their condition. I don't know. The condition is it never was designed to actually work, or, you know, the design is so poor you should have spotted that.
I like the one where they put the French drain, you know, the foundation drain all the way around the building to the sump in the basement.
Run it inside.
They're still dealing with the mold down there.
Great idea.
You know, the other thing this comes into play is the basement homes with the window wells, right? The
That's
window
important.
Wells drain in, drain into these, and now we're inside the house.
Right.
And now we got an issue if that pump's not kicking on.
That's exactly
because
right.
of groundwater in the window well.
Right. Mm-hmm. But to what extent are you guys evaluating them? Really?
Right.
Well, personally, I would say that I don't see any sump pump for the window wells. Or the sump pump for the window wells is there, not tested.
And that makes you report it.
Routine service, you know, That's service good. Routine. You
so
know?
If you just saw a bit of a surface drain in there, and maybe there's some remote sump somewhere, maybe there's not.
Well, it'll always be. The sump will always be pretty close, like in the basement or out in the pit or something.
Closer, there's nobody sitting there now.
What does that mean, Peter?
For the sake of discussion here, it looks like InterNACHI chose to go to say drainage sump pumps with accessible floats.
There you go.
Hmm.
Oh my God.
So I don't know.
That's a little too specific, huh?
Yeah, I don't love it or anything.
Accessible floats. What's accessible then? I don't really use that.
But again,
but they're on the right track though. If we're going to limit it, we have to limit it in some way, or we disclaim all of them, Peter. We just note their presence and we just disclaim them, and maybe that's what we do here. We observe their presence for drainage.
Well, do we observe? Because observe is conditional. Should we describe the presence? Inspector shall. Should this be under 7.2 is my point. 7.2D, inspector shall note presence or absence of some pumps where applicable. I don't know.
Well, it's either that or we put it on 7.3, not required to. But we probably need to address them one place or the other because there's no, there were, I don't see them anywhere else in our standards. So we have to address those pumps somehow.
We can leave it where it is, drainage sumps, and put in 7.3, not required to operate.
Yeah, that might be the way to go.
You're gonna have to observe it, but you don't have to verify its operation.
No, that actually works.
40 minutes condition. That's good.
All right.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I can.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
You all happy with that?
Yeah, I'm still gonna test them as best I can.
Absolutely.
I run across two a month.
I know,
area.
But we have to work with a minimum standard here. So everything that you and I do is not going to be. It's going to be that one that says we're going to do it. Okay.
While we're at operate drainage sumps, don't we want to say the same thing about our extractors?
Extractors?
Our sewer extractor pumps. So now we're.
You're talking about
our domestic drain water now for those pumps.
The grinder pumps.
The grinders. Now, we're not requiring the inspector to test those. And it's the same issue with accessibility. We can run a lot of water down, but it may or may not kick the pump on. Right?
So you're talking about a sewage ejector pump?
Right. Now I'm talking about that. Do we limit that also?
So if you run a lot of water and it doesn't kick on.
That's a problem.
I don't like that.
You better go look at a shower drain.
I know, and that's what we all do. We run a bunch of water and we wait for the noise to come on.
So then you're going to have to report that.
Well, no, we don't.
There
wanna,
could be trouble because it never did come on.
I don't want to eliminate ejector pumps. They're too important. I don't mind eliminating.
But no, I mean
grinder pumps because they're out in the yard somewhere.
I just want to make sure we're putting the inspector on the hook for that ejector pump to properly operate.
Well, what do we have?
It's up there.
Shall observe, right?
Observe is the condition. Where is it? Waste ejector pumps, okay?
No, maybe, I don't know.
So observe the condition of waste ejector pumps and
Maybe observe is appropriate, you know. Maybe observe that we're just...
Well, because
they don't have to test it, they're just observing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things to observe on a waste ejector pump. You know, you got to have a 2-inch vent, you got to have a backflow.
Oh, the check valves, all that stuff.
You got to have that, but I also know when there's no alarm. I recommend they go with
right.
until I found out
right.
what that cost. You know what an alarm costs for an ejector pump?
A couple grand.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe...
I think we leave it just
maybe
like
maybe
that.
We're okay the way it is.
Yeah. And do you want to keep this F down here, operate drainage sumps?
Yeah.
You're leaving
it
sumps, right? We're not
going
to operate.
Huh?
Are you adding pumps after sumps?
Oh, yeah, sump pumps.
I didn't hear you.
Are you adding pumps after sumps?
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Same as
operate drainage sump pumps.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What do we put up above? Just sumps.
Just sumps.
Right? Drainage sumps.
Which is more of a jargon. Sumps is more colloquial, right?
Sump pumps.
Do you feel when you want to put pumps in?
Pumps is clear.
Huh?
Pump seems more clear.
It is more clear, yeah.
Some people look at the pit as the sump.
Yeah, well, it is.
Right. So pumps is more specific and more clear.
Okay,
so.
I have no pump. How about you, Roger?
Yeah.
You good?
Draining sump pumps, yes.
Wait. If we do have to observe it, then down below you're saying...
Don't have to operate.
Don't have to operate. So.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're forced
if there, we have to say they're there.
Attempt to operate the sewer ejector, but not the drain itself. Drawing the line
so
there.
So up above it says we don't have to operate the pump, and then it says we do have to observe it.
It's there.
But there can be a sump that's like a bit of a distribution box that is gravity flow, right? So there could be a sump.
Without a pump.
Without a pump. That can be the design of a foundation.
Well, we should put. Well, what's there to observe? Well, yeah, we could put sumps And pumps, and sump pumps. Observe sumps and sump pumps.
Well, I haven't seen too many of those.
I haven't seen any.
I haven't seen them since I left New York.
Really?
Yeah. Since I didn't know. But I'm sure. But
there's so few of them. Maybe we don't need to worry about that, huh?
This will be the only place where we say you have to observe it, but you don't have to operate it.
Right.
No, that's not the only place.
Where do we say you have to observe it and you don't have
to? You have to observe fireplaces and you don't have to operate them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we observe that we don't have to operate.
Man, you're fast on your feet. That was good.
What? Good one.
Good one.
Pulled it.
He did. And just bang.
Pull it right out of there.
He had it chambered or something.
Yeah, because I was working on it like the last month.
All right, cool.
All right. So, we're happy? Okay, now, where are we?
I know, I want to bring up something on 7-2. What about disclosing where the fuel shutoff locations are?
Inspector Shaw.
I mean, it's in the ASHI standards, but it's not clear on the...
So describe shutoff locations for...
For fuel, whether it's propane, we don't get much fuel oil out here, so...
We don't. Do we have a requirement for the main water shutoff location?
No. That.
So why gas for safety?
Well, for both actually.
For both?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't determine for sure.
So where the mains are located?
All the reporting software has it.
As ASHI, I've had to report it in all the years.
ASHI has it, huh?
Yeah, ASHI has it. The main shutoff locations for gas.
Almost everybody's doing it anyway.
You do, yeah. It's in the software.
But do we require it?
Yeah.
David, what do you think?
I guess if you just can't say for sure, then you can just report that.
Yeah.
You know, it appears to be at this location, however.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of times where I can't located. Find it.
Maybe every comment not should located. Say, get a plumber. You know, we're not shutting it off and verifying.
Yeah, everybody's looking for them anyway.
I don't know if we have to mandate that.
Inspector Shell, describe A4, the location of the
main water and fuel shutoff location. That's what it says. That's what it says in ASHI, anyway.
Location of the main water.
I can tell you that. I don't care.
Pretty much
doing it anyway, but this forces their hand to do it in their reports.
Inter-Nazi does it,
you
know.
Yeah.
Well,
Inter-Nazi's
also
in their record.
Oh, no, I'm in the wrong place. Inspector Shaw, observe A6, the location of the main water and gas service shutoff.
Well, he was in the right spot, I think.
Our fuel.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay.
I was in the wrong spot, and I agree.
So we're doing describe, right?
Yeah, describe.
No, it shouldn't be described. It should be observed.
No.
No, am I wrong?
You have to describe where those are located.
Yeah, it is a describe.
All right, my fault. It should be...
What we're describing is the location, right?
Should be in 7.
Describe the location of...
Should describe...
Water
right.
Supply.
A4.
Yeah. Location of... The way ASHI states it, location of main water and fuel shut-off valves.
Yeah. We may not need even supply in there.
And fuel, well, shutoff valves, then you'll be talking about shutoff valves all the way through the house. No, main water and main fuel. Main water and fuel.
Shutoff. Location, main water, fuel. Valves.
I think
we need.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it works.
It's just the way it is in ASHI.
That's good.
That's it?
Good point. All
right. That's good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you're good with 7-2, otherwise all the way down to C, operate jetted tubs. Inspector Shell, operate jetted bathtubs.
Or state the reason why he did.
Yeah, of course, that's the way to do it. All right, 7-3.
I operate them.
Yeah. 7-3.
Had a few good times. I had a shower when I was testing the tub. But
that's what you're doing. operate any valve except water closet flush valves, fixture faucets, and hose faucets. All right. E, observe
We took out six solar water heating systems. This is we are not required to observe. Okay? You good?
Not required solar water heating system. Righto.
Okay.
Operate drainage some pumps.
Yeah, we just put that
right
in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want this up here under D with the other operates?
Yeah, that would be better.
That would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Put it in a Z. And change E to F. Oh, you're good at this. I like that. Okay, what are we in? Seven? Okay, eight. Are there any other problems with seven? Hearing none, let's move to eight. Let's look at what we've done on eight so far. Paul, you want to look at this? Service equipment, grounding equipment. We have to observe main overcurrent device, main and distribution panels.
And voltage ratings. That's antiquated too. Voltage. Everything's too. What's that? 240. I don't know. Anyway.
480.
Yeah. In a house.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we changed branch circuit conductors. I mean, we're actually
right.
Reporting on the type of conductors instead of the methods used. Because that's what we've had all this time, is reporting on the methods.
It was the wiring method, right? We got
yeah, whether it's conduit method. Or Romex or, right. Or knob and tube, you know, for example. So, and we removed the aluminum requirement to...
I thought we did.
Yes, we did.
Right.
I'm just saying that it's not up there anymore.
Right. Yeah, that was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, we are stating the branch circuit conductors so we can specify what type of conductors are
in. We're not required to describe, are we, the conductor, right?
Tell you in just a minute.
Well, yeah. Service entry conductor materials.
Branch circuit conductor materials.
That's just the entry conductor, right?
Branch
you really can't tell.
It says branch circuit conductor materials.
Branch circuit conductor
materials. So we've got to describe. And that's where you would pick up the copper or aluminum. And that's why we eliminated the aluminum. I got no problem with any of that. But other people do, okay? 8.1 F and G. No. You let him get away with this, David. This is from Steve. He likes to talk about AFCI, GFCIs, okay? Everybody's got a comment. But his is, AFCIs and GFCI requirements have changed drastically over the years. There should simply be one standard being the operation of all AFCI and GFCI devices tested or reason for not testing.
I am not in favor of that.
What do we have? We actually have the presence of
right.
And the operation of GFCIs readily accessible.
Right. And we spent a lot of time on this.
We spent too much time
section
on that.
Already.
That's why I got a big X on that.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Anything else in 8? You want to start down to 8, 2? Oh, wait, start back up for a minute so we can catch Paul up.
Where is the describe the branch circuit wiring? Where?
Go to describe.
Methods.
I just can't seem to find it.
In our standards or you're
right
there. Ashen?
Our standards.
Okay.
Describe
right
the branch circuit wiring.
It's
describe. Branch circuit conductor material. Okay, thank you. I see A2A2, right?
Right.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
All right, now, Paul, do you want to catch up? You want to go to 8.3?
Yep.
B? No, you don't want to see what we get the AFCI.
No,
right?
I didn't agree, but I'm with you on that.
No, you agree. You didn't.
No,
I walk away.
I don't want to.
Test smoke and carbon monoxide.
Walk away from them.
Test smoke and carbon monoxide alarms.
Right.
No, I'm with
you.
You
like the word alarms better
than
detectors?
Yeah, no, that's better than detectors for sure.
But the industry talks about detectors. Okay, we scratched E and went to F.
But you added smoke
it's
the original
one.
We added carbon monoxide.
Smoke's now in and used to be out.
Right.
Did we sort up to 8? What are we?
Wiring methods.
8? 8-1? Oh, that down a little bit. Yeah, the presence and absence of carbon monoxide detectors were and smoke detectors were
perfect.
Okay, thank you. Down to 8-3. What we don't want to do is test them, okay? And then we're at F. We want to observe. We're not required to observe. Anything to add to that? Geothermal, pump, solar, wind, and other renewable energy systems. All right, you happy with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roger, you happy with it?
No.
What's wrong?
I think we got past where I was going to chime in, but what about
slide back.
What about the location of main shutoff device?
Okay. You're talking about the electrical panel?
Yes.
Main,
it's right there.
Disconnect?
Or the electrical, I mean the main shutoff.
Describe
location,
location of main and
doesn't
distribution
panels. Doesn't necessarily
have to
be in the main panel.
So you're back to the mains, huh?
We got 8.2A4. Is that happy?
That's panels. What about the shutoffs?
Well, that's where the panels
are. The main panel.
Those are the
has shutoff. To be the shutoff at the main panel, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, in a mobile home, it's on a post. But that would still be considered the main, and everything else down line is a sub.
There's no main in there. It's not the main panel, technically, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it depends.
It's a shutoff in someplace else.
If it's just
else.
A service entrance or if it's, you know, a main panel. I mean, I run across a lot where there's one breaker in it, and that's the main shutoff.
But 99% of the time,
and if you look, you're
going
to catch
it here, right?
If you have, if
it
you
doesn't
have one,
say that we have to report the location of the main shutoff device.
Mm-hmm. If you open up a panel and it has one breaker in it,
that's the main panel.
That's your main panel. And then you go to your distribution panel, it's a sub panel. And even your grounds and neutrals have to be isolated in that sub panel,
just like
any other sub panel. So you have located your main panel. Now, if you're talking about finding a breaker on the wall all by itself, you know, with a feed, an electrical feed coming into that.
Well, right next to the meter.
That's a main panel.
Okay. But does the public know that?
You know that. You're the home inspector.
Yeah, no. But does the public know where to shut their power off in case there's an emergency?
At the main panel.
Where does it say that we have to report that?
Okay.
I mean, granted, they're not going to go looking for their home inspection report when they have an emergency, but nonetheless.
Well, there's old equipment that has no main panel, no main disconnect.
Yeah,
or it has six breakers.
Right.
How
so
about if it has
so
eight?
That has a complexity to
it. Never. That's not. But that's it will. Not
but it will. And you got to tell them that, too.
That's just a, you know, that's a business decision, how you're going to convey that information, really, because to say, well, you really would have to say it's the top one in the main panel, which is located here. You know, people, you have to get them down to the sixth grade level or whatever you have to do. And so that, those are all business decisions. I don't think it has to be here, like the importance of gas and water, like you had said. Because we're saying where the main is. That's
I'm
the main.
With you on this. However, Roger is the one who has to sell this to Ashy. Before we can actually adopt,
well,
we have to make this gentleman
happy.
Yeah,
it's but very persuasive, powerful human right
the
there.
Thing, you know, I'm Ashy, so you know if Ashy says that it's reported, you know I'm standing on their side of the fence.
How do you guys word it?
I'm looking for that right now.
Oh.
It's not what
it's
I do.
Here
it is. So I'll find it eventually, just bear with me.
In the interim, Paul, I'll be looking over 8, see if there's something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see anything else there.
Oh, no, it's here somewhere.
Yeah, it is. It's in the main ASHI standards. You have to describe the location of main
disconnects and sub-panels.
Read it again.
Inspector must describe the location of main disconnect or disconnects.
Okay.
It's got the S in parentheses.
All right.
And sub-panels. That's what they chose to do.
So,
inner notch, shield, chip.
Perfect
you'd
wording.
You'd like to see the word disconnect in there, Roger?
That's good wording.
Yeah.
Yes, your concern?
Yeah.
Sub-panel.
Location of main disconnects.
Main disconnects and sub-panels.
Oh, we don't have to do the main panel?
Not really.
As long as you disclose.
You're doing location.
Let's go better then. Location of main disconnects,
and
panel, and sub-panel.
So ASHI literally made it so you do not have to describe the location of the main panel.
Oof.
Which we don't want to do. Because, well, because your main disconnects have got to be in the main panel.
So aren't there places where this is not all that easy to determine? Like, so then if a distribution panel, so then if it happens to have, it's really a sub-panel, but it has a main disconnect. So you're going to describe, you have a disconnect here, there, and everywhere.
Just the main service disconnect.
No,
not
no,
all
just
the panel.
So how will you
where
know
do you go to turn the power off if there's an emergency?
Yeah, we just want the primary, the big chunk.
The main
the big
disconnect, does it say that? It's then you want to take off the apostrophe, or the S in parentheses.
Well, no. What if there's more than one main disconnect?
Yeah. There can
so then that becomes,
could be an old
that
panel
with
six
complex
breakers
to determine, right?
It can be what?
Complex to determine.
Well
it can
you pull the dead cover, you can figure that out.
Well, the other issue where we would need to know if there's solar photovoltaic, we've got another disconnect that we would have to note in this scenario as a main disconnect, right?
Well, no, because your photo is a backfeed disconnect. And therefore, if you shut off the main disconnect, you've got no power at all because it's not backfeeding anymore. Well, it's not backfeeding to the main. It might be backfeeding into the house.
So it's backfeeding into the house. When you got solar photovoltaic, you got two mains minimum coming in.
Right.
You got a backfeed and you got a primary. Mm-hmm. So a main disconnect would include a solar system disconnect.
No.
I'm just saying if we have to note locations of main disconnects, we would have to include solar, because even though we're disclaiming the solar system, but we have to pick up the main on it.
Well, it's just
statement
simple to say they're all in the main panel, and that's located on the northwest corner of the house. And don't open that or you'll die.
So I think that's good, though.
Yeah, I think
InterNACHI chose not to. They did a little twist. They said you have to describe the main service disconnect's amperage rating and not location.
It's in there.
Well, we got amperage in both. Yeah,
we got it anyway.
On the main service amperage. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
your capacity.
So they did not. Okay.
Okay, anything else on 8? Roger?
I think we're good.
Let's slide to 9. All right, now in 9, we're talking about heating.
Oh, wait a minute, go back to 8.
Going back to 8.
Service entrance conductors. We have to observe them. So we have to report on the condition.
The condition of service entrance conductors.
Do we need it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if they're overhead, you do.
For service drops, we have to have them for service drops.
If you can't see them on the ground because they're lateral, then you say that. We all
right,
that.
That's what I do.
Those connectors, the drip loop, all that, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Carry on.
All right, to 9. Look at the changes we made, Paul. See if you like them. We took solid fuel heating devices out of there and put in a B for fireplaces.
Right. So obviously, you didn't want to have a separate fireplace section.
We
integrated it, and
it was so easy to put in here.
I see. So dampers only in there for the fireplaces,
right.
Then.
It's pulled out of
distribution.
And we
took out solid fuel.
And we put in mini splits. You might want to take a look at that. Permanently installed heating systems, including mini split heating systems.
Is that a real term we should be using in a standards?
Mini splits? I saw that on a cadet convention.
Sounds really?
Yeah.
heat distribution systems, including fans, pumps, ducts, and piping with supports, insulation, air filters, registers, radiators, fan coil units, convectors, and mini-split heating systems.
I don't know, mini-split. We really mean non-central wall-based, right? That's
well,
really what we're talking about.
It's also ground-based outside. It could be up on the roof.
Right, but it's specific to a room. It's not central. That's why we're breaking it out. It's non-central, right?
Non-central, but essential.
We're going to have it in the cooling system as well.
It's non-central, but essential.
Now, did we put it in the cooling system? Mini split? There it is.
Yes.
We did put it in. We were doing good that day.
Yeah.
I have a question. What about A4? Should the chimneys come out because that's applicable to fireplaces and it's down at B3 now?
Yep.
It should just be flues and vents, shouldn't it?
Well, some flues can run through chimneys for, you know. So when it sticks out of the roof,
or some vents,
if they run a furnace up through a chimney up on top of the roof,
yeah, it could.
Yeah.
Don't want to let a guy out of that. Not reviewing
but
that.
That's a carryover from the wood stove or whatever pipe running up a flue, right? That's what that's in.
Well, yeah, except your oil burners will run up chimneys,
right.
All sorts
yeah,
of things.
That's true.
Chimneys.
Yeah, I guess maybe we need to leave it in there.
I like it.
Cool.
My only concern is just using the term mini split.
Mm-hmm.
If that's accomplishing what we need it to do, and is it acceptable enough of an industry term, or is it the latest fad of what we're calling these little mini splits?
And that terminology can change over, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 years.
Well, as long as we know what it means,
what
the industry knows what it means, then we're going to set.
So how
we're going to be the trendsetters?
Right. But this is different from any other split system because it's non-central, right? I'm just saying, is there any more elegant way to address this other than saying mini splits? I know you guys had a discussion on it last time, but I don't know what ensued. It's just another split system, right? It's either packaged or split, which we're already doing anyway. So all we're really talking about is non-central. That's not in a window, which we've already disclaimed, or temporary.
But
right?
It's more room-specific, right?
And it has no ductwork. This is kind of a definition side.
Yeah, it has no ductwork, right.
I don't know. It's not like it's a product name like a manufacturer.
What I'm wondering is, aren't we, even if we don't put it in there, aren't we supposed to be observing it, even if it's not in there with our current?
Yeah. Everything on Google.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything on Google says mini split. There's one here, ductless mini split. Air conditioners.
Mm.
You can do that, ductless mini splits. Or
I mean, ductless. Everything refers to.
Are they all heat pumps?
They don't refer to heat pumps, they all say mini splits.
It could be cooling only.
But you're right, I mean, heating equipment you've got under A1, and that basically covers that too if you don't want to put it in there.
What we were trying to do. We used to have permanently
installed heating systems, right? Which a mini split is.
Yeah.
And how did we get away from wall and window heaters?
But so it really only came into play on the air conditioning on the cooling side.
I'm for leaving mini split in there.
I mean, I can't think of anything better unless we took out when we get to cooling. We could always consider removing the word central to address that
thing on the cooling side, but otherwise, anyway, because we don't have central for heat, we have central for cooling, central air conditioning including. Heating is just observed, permanently installed heating systems including. So, I mean, I guess I'm all right with it. I just don't know if there's anything better we can use other than mini split, maybe not.
Well, if you Google it and it comes up, like Roger did.
So then it's okay if we Google it and it comes up? There's a lot of things I could Google and they come up that aren't appropriate to put on the standard.
We don't want to know. We don't want to know. Yeah.
But everything here is mini split.
Okay.
Over and over and over.
Okay. I can't think of anything better, so. All right.
So you guys are happy with 9?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we have a question on 9.1A3. This is Steve.
Steve again, huh?
He says, I would remove this one. 9.1A3.
That's energy source.
Automatic safety controls. He says, I would remove this one. Automatic safety controls, flame rollout sensors, limit switches, etc. Requiring dismantling equipment and cannot be tested by normal operating controls. But we don't expect them to test them.
We're just presence of them. Just their presence.
Presence up. And that's what do we have here?
Yep.
Show observed permanently installed heating systems, including normal automatic.
We're not required to test them.
Right, we're not. And if you go down to
describe
operate automatic safety
controls,
9.3B.
Oh, not required to operate.
Right.
You have to.
I think that addresses it, right?
You have to observe,
not operate.
And we can't let these guys walk away from this just because they're not used to oil burners and all sorts of systems that require these barometric dampers and all sorts of things that are very important. So you tell Steve, no.
I think the reason he's saying this is all modern equipment, it's definitely dismantling to get to these.
Yeah, well,
you know, and so, but that's not older equipment. We see older equipment. So I don't agree. And if we... if we simply say we couldn't do it because it would require dismantling or whatever, that gets a person out of it.
Yeah.
So
all
limitations should be. Yeah.
So everybody's happy with 9 all the way through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we added quite a bit under what we don't observe.
Let's go down and look at those. 9.3, we're not required to observe interiors, vent systems, through and chimneys that are not readily accessible, fire screens and doors, seals and gaskets, automatic fuel feed devices, mantles and fireplace surrounds. Why do we have that? Combustion air components.
Because we put the fireplace under heat.
No, why did we put that? We don't want to do mantles and fireplace surrounds. Aren't they very important? Combustion air components to determine their adequacy, heat distribution assist, gravity fed, fuel burning fireplaces and appliances.
Are those clearances for 10 is what you're talking about?
These are...
For number 10?
What about them?
Are they the clearances you don't have to report on, or what? Because those are big items.
Those are big items to me.
It's a combustible issue.
Even fire screens and doors can be.
And we'll I'm not sure what 11 combustion air is either. I'm not sure I get that one.
Combustion air components.
Some wood stoves have outside.
Where did all this come from, David? Do you remember?
Let me see if it came from in or not yours.
I believe it actually.
These are important items. I don't know if you want those in here.
Do we have them in here?
This must have come from InterNACHI, right?
No, I think it came from ASHI.
Yeah, InterNACHI didn't get it involved yet. Is not required to observe... Okay, here we go. It's not...
Kurt put it in there.
Is not required to observe...
This is his recommendation. Kurt went rogue.
What?
I'll show
Kurt
that.
Kurt never goes rogue.
I'll show that.
Yeah. Okay.
He just wanted to see if you guys are paying attention.
All right, now, knowing that we have... Oh, you know where it came from? I put it in here.
Oh my goodness. You never fess up when you like.
I know, I didn't remember. I put it in there because it came directly from Ashy's fireplace section.
Yes.
Okay?
I can see it
later. They deferred all of these things. And I put it in there for discussion, but we never got that far.
So
We need to discuss the fireplace section.
So this is just for discussion. This isn't included, that's all.
Yeah, we're still discussing.
I'm helping you out here.
I agree with A1.
Okay.
We're going to have to go through them one by one here, Peter, and see what makes sense and what doesn't.
Yep. Inspector is not required to operate locusts. That hasn't changed. When weather conditions or other circumstances may cause equipment to operate automatic safety controls, ignite or extinguish solid fuel fires, or move fireplace inserts and stoves or firebox contents. Okay, that's directly from Ash. All right. Anybody got a problem?
No, that's good.
D, observe the interior flues. Because that's been in our standards forever. Fireplace insert flue connections, also been in our standards.
Wait a sec, because the first one there, interior flues, is taken care of in that 6. But, so you can decide between 1 and 6.
Oh, that is a good thought.
And then...
some of it's coming from heating, some of it's coming from the fireplace.
And chimneys that are not readily accessible.
Oh, yeah, now we're combined, so...
Yeah, it gets a little messy.
Not really.
The interiors are not... I like just the interior of flues. I like 1 better than 6.
I do, too.
Okay, so is this what we have to inspect?
Not required.
No, this is a not required.
This is not required, okay.
Scratch 6 and see what happens. Right. Humidifiers, electronic air filters, uniformity or adequacy of heat supply to various rooms. Stop there. We have to just determine whether they have a supply, not the adequacy or the balancing of the system, right?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we have to disclose if there's a heat source in every room.
That's what
Right?
Well, yeah, we need to discuss that on 15, I think. We need to talk about that some more.
Okay. Why don't you take fire screen doors down to the bottom? We'll put all the fireplace stuff down at the bottom. Okay? And this, there you go. Fire screen doors. And go back up to 1. 2. Put 2 down at the bottom.
Goofy.